This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
And we are live. Welcome to the WEN Show. It's been a spectacular week for tech news this week. If you're into Sony PlayStation 5 and having a kind of alien looking thing in your living room. Yes, my friends, the PlayStation 5 has finally been unveiled, and we've got a bunch of other great tech news for you this week.
That's right, Linus. It has been a fantastic week for tech news. If you are not Intel for multiple reasons...
if you're not Intel, hit me with it.
First of all, Jim Keller is resigned, so that's horrifying for them.
That's rough.
And also, speaking of horrifying for Intel, there's more security vulnerabilities on their processors.
Hey, that's not really horrifying for Intel. That's horrifying for their customers. Get it right.
Maybe a little bit of both.
We are going to talk about the PlayStation 5, and we're also going to talk about Intel's alleged 5-core CPU. Ooh. That's right, alleged 5-core CPU. This is actually much cooler than it sounds on the surface. This is not just 5 cores stapled together on a CPU. Should we roll the intro? Wow, that was really efficient, like pre-show blitz there. Ooh.
It felt kind of rehearsed.
Yeah, it did. Wow. It's almost like we're professionals. Okay, I'm going to do this thing.
Or we can not roll the intro just to add a little bit more of the roughness.
Just to make up for it? No, we're doing it. We're doing it. Yeah.
Okay. No YouTube, apparently.
Oh, that's right. I didn't set it public. Well, that would have been too professional.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, I love that on YouTube there's two buttons to go live. One button to make the stream not private and a second button to go live. The show is brought to you today by, oh shoot, I can't remember. Give me one moment, please. Displate, Ridge Wallet, and Squarespace. Imagine having so many sponsors you can't remember them all. Is that what you were going to say? Because, wow.
I was going to say, imagine having a button that sets public and live at the same time.
Imagine a world where Twitch actually does things better than you do. Oh, snap.
Imagine a world where any form of like UI or almost any other update doesn't add clicks to the process of doing things.
Imagine that. I can't imagine it.
I just get so serious.
I can't. It's too hard. All right. Why don't we jump right into our headline topic for the day?
Yes.
EA titles have returned to Steam. After 9 years of making their Origin storefront the only place to buy EA titles, this was posted by Andreas Lilja on the forum. EA games have finally returned to Steam. I didn't realize it was 9 years of Origin. Years of being stuck with Origin if you wanted to play an EA game. You know why I didn't realize? Because there weren't any EA games I wanted to play.
Yep. But I was going to say, now you can support acidic publishers more easily through Steam.
Origin. Hold on a second. I do actually have Origin on my computer. I'm a sign in. I even know my password. I got my password memorized.
Have I told you the story about how I shared my Origin account with some Russian hacker dude for like years and just didn't care?
What? Are you kidding me?
No, my original Origin account got hacked by some person who put the language to Russian, and they played football manager games.
Yeah.
And they played it with my account. I have no idea why. They didn't seem to play any of the games that I had. They just played these football manager games, which I didn't buy. They either bought or got for free. And then every time that there was a game on Origin that I would want to play, I would just recover my account through my email. What is this? What are you moving around the screen?
Origin, I just tried to open it. And it was like, well, that didn't go as planned. I'm just trying to show what games I have in Origin. It's like not working.
That's actually amazing. Anyways, I
it's like, gee, I wonder why I don't like Origin.
Because it didn't go as planned. But I used to, yeah, I would, anytime I'd want to play a game,
yeah,
I would just recover my account through my email. He somehow was able to change my secret question. My secret question was now in Russian, and the answer was who knows what. So he had my secret question. So
right.
When he wanted to play games again, he would just take the account back with the secret question. And then when I wanted to play games again, I would just take the account back with the email recovery. And we did this for a really long time.
Why would you steal someone's account to play free games?
I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe he wanted to play on North American servers or so. I don't know if there is that for Football Manager. Sure. I have no clue.
Who knows?
But it went on for a long time. And then one day, I noticed it seemed like he was like trying to change the email.
Yeah.
Like, no, ooh. That's too far.
Yeah. Too we far. Step too far. Step too far. Yeah. We had so a system here, bro.
And then I got him fully
This is
locked
great.
Out.
A Thomas K. Sands has given me some tech support here. He's offline. ... Clearly, I'm not very offline because I'm definitely streaming to you live. So, just a little offline, you know? We've got just a little bit of that offline in the mix to make it interesting. All right, so hold on a second. So this began last week, but a fresh batch of games dropped on the 11th, including the Battlefield series, Star Wars Battlefront series, and this is kind of a big deal, the just released Command & Conquer Remastered Edition. Yes. Or excuse me, Remastered Collection. I have not played the Remastered Collection, nor did I play the original Command & Conquer. So, but I did read one review of the Remastered Collection, and it was very positive. Look, just... If I'm going to run my mouth about something I know absolutely nothing about, I'm going to stay positive. That's
it's
all.
It's going to be Sony.
It's going to be, yeah. It's
right. Okay, sorry.
Look, I've got a brand to protect here. You know, if I'm going to go off the rails, it's going to be to trash on Tim Sweeney for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
Now, many of the newer games still appear to have Origin as a dependency, but they use a light version of the client that seems to mostly handle DRM. This has been a sticking point for some reviewers, with many of the negative reviews mentioning Origin integration in Battlefield 5's store page. Linux gamers have noted that many older EA titles and the Command & Conquer Remastered Collection don't have Origin integration and run without non-Steam DRM, allowing them to play these titles hassle-free for the first time in almost a decade. Nice. EA's subscription service, EA Access, is also coming to Steam. So I guess...
Interesting.
Would you have imagined this when we first started... Like, imagine this. When we first started Wanshow, which was like 7 years ago or whatever. EA being like the big boy, you know, the one no. that's like willing to come to the table and go non-exclusive with their stuff.
No, I would not have imagined that. I also... We... have many times imagined a place where games platforms would go to a service model. We've been talking about this forever.
Yep.
And then we eventually saw Origin do it. We saw Ubisoft.
We saw Microsoft do it, with Xbox.
Microsoft yep. do it. Sony to a certain degree. Nintendo yep. to a certain degree. Like it started proliferating. What I never expected was a gaming studio to go on a subscription model on someone else's
platform.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Do you think, I don't have these details. All I have is the information that's in our doc here, which is just that it's there. Do you think Valve was willing to negotiate? Do you think what we're seeing is the result of the decades of pressure that EA has put on Valve? Because obviously it benefits Valve to have all games on Steam. That's yeah. Valve's end game. Is that every gamer sees Steam as the destination for gaming, whether it's socializing with their friends, buying games, using it to stream their games to their other devices with Steam Link. You know, they're trying to be like the platform for gamers. But VR is another perfect example of how they're trying to position themselves as more of a platform and less of like a storefront. So obviously that's to their benefit. Do you think that this is a result of the pressure EA has put on them withholding their games, which are kind of big deal games last time I checked, as much as I might, you know, mock EA and make fun of them or whatever, because I don't play sports games. And I went the last 10 years without really playing games. Otherwise, I probably would have tons of titles in Origin. And a result of pressure from the Epic Games Store, where the commissions are much, much lower. Do you think that Valve has made an agreement with EA where their commissions are lower?
If I had to guess out of nowhere, I would say probably yes. And the main reason for that would not actually be the Origin Store. It would be the Epic Game Store. I think Epic Game Store has made a lot of splashes. And while there's a lot of very bad things about it, I think free games speak to a lot of people.
Yeah, freaking. I mean, hey, Free Civ 6 free a couple weeks games. Ago. Like Free Civ 6.
GTA 5.
I didn't take it.
These were not.
I didn't take it because I'm not installing the Epic Games Store on my computer. But you know what it did do is it prompted me to buy Civ 6 on the LTT benchmarking account and then set up friend sharing between my account and the work account and play that game. That's right. It had an effect on me.
I suspect most people didn't have that effect. I suspect most people took the free game.
Most people probably didn't do it that way. That's an unusual approach.
But taking like big time games that people are actually spending like serious money on and sending those out for free, not like relatively old indie games, which is kind of generally the angle.
Was splashy enough when Humble Bundle first started doing it. You start giving away AAA games. It's sort of a big deal.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. PlayStation time?
We should do that. We should do that. I was just messing with people. It was very funny and I enjoyed it, but we should move on. All right, let's talk about...
I was like, wow, that's surprising that was the title. Okay.
Right. No, let's talk about PlayStation. So, there's articles everywhere. Verge, Texas, I don't know who posted on the forum, but there's a reveal trailer here. What the hey? We might as well just give it a little watchy watch, shall we? Window capture. I don't know. Let's call this one Chrominator.
Chrominating the countryside.
All right. I don't want to show too much of this because I don't want to get a takedown, but there you go. It's a thing.
This section of it is
it's like, oh yeah, look at this. Yeah, no, oh man, go, yeah. PlayStation.
The
PlayStation.
First whole half of the video has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. Oh wait, there it is. Hey, we did it. We did it, Reddit. So there it is. There's two versions of the PlayStation 5. We still don't have pricing. We've got the space age version. Hold on, let me find it. There we go. We got the Space Age version right here. Okay, it comes with a PlayStation 5 and a controller, probably. There you go, that's the digital version. Then we've got the Space Station version plus Ancient Technology Edition with a disc loader thing here so that you can take the data that's on that disc and you can put it onto your SSD. And then you can throw it away because there's going to be a day one update that's like half the size of the game anyway.
There's your tech tip, ladies and gentlemen.
There's your tech tip. Basically, you know, that it's just you got your gaming PC where you download the game, and then you got your gaming PC where you put the disc in and download the game. PlayStation Edition.
I think you can tell in the like. What I would probably incorrectly call the design language of the console.
Yeah.
But they did not want to have that drive in there. It's
literally a wart growing out of the side of the PlayStation 5.
Someone was like, nope, we need one with a drive. And they were like, okay, we'll just, there we go. That's good.
You know, the thing is, and it's funny because you hear a lot of people talk about how discs are not going away because for a lot of people, especially people who are on low speed, like rural internet connections, they're the only way to get, you know, 30, 40, 50 gigabytes of data loaded onto their console. You know, more by the time you uncompress it, but like the initial compressed data, it's like the only way to get it onto their console. But you look at the way that Sony has designed the PlayStation 5, it's clearly digital first, because not only do games, like, so many, I remember when we first did our launch coverage of the PlayStation 4, and I like put in these games and was immediately greeted by like system updates and game updates. I was like, what is this, a computer? Because it really was so reminiscent of the computer gaming experience, like all these game patches and stuff. I was like, what? I thought this was a console. So not only that, but there's the fact now that because the PlayStation 5 is designed around streaming game assets right off of this high-speed SSD while you're gaming, you cannot design your game for the PlayStation 5 with the expectation that there is going to be a disc in the console. In fact, my understanding, and I would hate to say something ignorant about the PlayStation 5 again, that would be very, very bad. That would be a very bad time. But my understanding is that Sony has provided developers with guidance to say that they expect all the game's data to be loaded onto the SSD for when the player wants to play the game in order to maintain the proper PlayStation 5 gaming experience. I don't think games are going to run off the disc. So this is just a matter of, like, do you want to have a physical DRM key? Or do you want to be able to resell your games, depending on how Sony handles digital rights management for digital games? Or do you want to have a digital DRM for your games, as far as I can tell?
There's also, for that niche community of people, the ability to play movies off it.
Do they?
Very few people.
Do they not have a USB Blu-ray already that they can use to rip their movies? Because they could do that, you know? Okay, in all seriousness, I get it. Some people actually do watch Blu-rays like that. One of the things that a lot of people... Okay, you know what? Before we go any further, I want to hear from you, Luke. I want to hear from you. Yeah. Give it a score out of 10 for looks. Tell me about it. Here, hold on. Let's get another angle here. Hold on, I got to give people...
The one without the disc, which is what I suspect most people are going to get anyways.
Why are you struggling so much?
I'm going to give it like a
come
nine.
On. Nine. Wow.
The reason why,
all right. Yeah.
Because it's not so boring.
Really?
Yeah. So much stuff comes out and like, okay.
Okay.
So look at, there's a link in there. Look at the blue link. Reddit user made a handy image comparing PlayStation Xbox offerings. Check that out.
Okay.
Show,
all right.
Maybe show that to the stream.
All right. I'm on it. Sorry. It's going to take me a little while to resize this here window doodad and majig. There we go. All right. There it is. Yep. All right. Tell me about it.
It's just look at this.
I guess what you're saying is it's not any more ugly than anything else.
First of all, console, like, I think the PlayStation 4 looked kind of all right. The Xbox One X looked kind of all right. The
Xbox 360 looked terrible.
The Xbox 360 it's kind of, did not age well.
No, it looks like a toy. It looks like a child's toy.
The PS3, the non-slim PS3, I always thought was like kind of atrocious.
Yeah.
But I have been so bored with a lot of design of physical products for a long time now.
Okay, that's fair.
Like, if you look at any phone, they're just all identical. They're all super minimalistic. You look at almost anything else, it's all identical and super minimalistic. And like, that's pretty cool. But at a certain point, everything just feels cold.
Mm.
And like, this thing is interesting. I don't necessarily think it's the most attractive console I've ever seen.
You gave it a 9, dude.
But
you gave it a 9 out of 10.
I'm very happy that they did this.
Like, if my wife's like, hey, rate me out of 10, and I'm like, hun, you're a 9.
Because you're...
I'm basically... Yeah, you see, you can't qualify that.
That is not going to go over well.
Yeah, see, you can't do that. No, you can't do that.
I'm just happy to see it because I want to see more stuff like this.
I'll tell her that. I'm going to be like, you're a 9 because I'm just happy to see it because I want to see more stuff like, you know, like this, you know? You're a 9, hun.
I appreciate it a lot, I think.
I appreciate you. You're a nine because I appreciate you.
It's the same thing. It's different. I kind of like it.
Because you're different from all the other girls that I wait.
While it would have been probably more intelligent for them to go with an all-black design,
yes.
I appreciate that they didn't do that.
All right.
Because, again, it's more interesting.
That's fair.
I it's not boring. And I actually like that so much.
Okay. So here's my...
So many things are boring. Like, look at... Do you remember computer cases? Do you remember, like, the Antec 900?
Yeah.
How, like, wacky that computer case was?
Yeah.
Like, there's some reasons why leaving that era was good. But I feel like we've been in this new era of everything's just a box with metal and glass on it.
Yeah.
For kind of too long, and it's a little tired. And I'm happy to see some of the, like, spark kind of come back.
I guess, okay, so I've got two takes on this. One is, okay, first of all, I just want to jump in and say we do not need to go back to the era of the Thermaltake Zaser series.
Yeah, okay, so it was too far then. I just feel like we've kind of gone too far now where everything's the same. Everything's metal and glass, and it's just kind of boring and tired.
All right.
And I somewhere in the middle, I think, is really good.
Well, you didn't ask.
Somewhere in there.
You didn't ask, but I'm going to give you my take anyway. I actually like it too. I've been giving you a hard time, but I like it. I have always... And maybe part of this is that, you know, I grew up, you know, or like, you know, as a gamer, you know, feeling like Alienwares were pretty cool and were for gamers, you know, for gaming. I never bought an Alienware gaming machine because I learned to build my own and all that kind of stuff. But I remember there was this one Alienware case in particular. It was like an Aurora something Star Wars edition that I went as far as calling up Alienware to be like, look, I don't even care if it's like $1,000. I want to buy this thing. This is like so cool. There it is. So there were two-sided designs. There was an Empire one and a Rebel Alliance version. I wanted the Empire one because it looked way, way cooler. But, you know, to me, Alienware and that like futuristic spaceship gamer look is not necessarily a terrible thing. And something to remember is that even though the gaming demographic is absolutely aging, like it used to be that when we were kids played video games. And yeah. Now here we are 25 years later and adults play video games. And I think that a lot of adults now have this expectation that video game machines should look like they're made for adults. But newsflash, kids have a lot more hours to play video games by and large than adults do. And game consoles are still for kids.
And they are also for adults. You're doing a fun thing. It doesn't need to be this like black box of destruction
that's
and death.
Totally serious. With that said, my rating of 8 out of 10 is based on that I won't buy one or put it in my living room.
Neither will I.
So now I want your second rating. I want to know what you think of it if you actually have to make it fit in your console and look decent.
It would actually fit perfectly fine in my setup.
Your setup is tacky.
My setup's not that bad.
I haven't seen it, but you just told me a PlayStation 5 would fit in with it. So it's tacky. Because that is, I think, a lot of people's problem with it, is that this is a device...
I have two levels of shelving. One of them has my receiver...
You know what else you have is the technology of a webcam that you could pick up and show it to us with it.
Not that easily.
Oh, really? Oh, that's a bummer. Okay.
Just because how the cables are all set up.
Okay, don't worry about it. I'm razzing you anyway. But my point is just that I think for a lot of people, the problem is that, you know, they aren't still living at home in their basement. And when they look at a device like this and go, you know, I'm sorry, how is this meant to be integrated into my like home theater console where, for better or for worse, every other thing in it, we don't even have silver as an option anymore. Every other thing in it is a black box, you know, my AV receiver, Well, I realized, like, yes, yours probably isn't, but for a lot of people, most of their stuff is
true. Yes.
So unless the PlayStation 5 is like the centerpiece of your setup, it's kind of hard to make it fit in.
I don't think it's tacky, though, to have something that looks slightly different. I think that is this is going to get spicy.
Watch out.
Boring old person opinion.
Did you just okay boomer me?
Yeah, a little bit.
Did you just okay boomer me?
Because back in the day, what was the coolest looking console?
Coolest looking, define back in the day, because you and I come from different days, sir.
Not that.
Give me a year. Nintendo 64 was the coolest console, the clear ones, the purple clear one. The problem is that I was nine.
Literally purple too.
Okay,
so
that's
what?
It's
so cool. It is still cool. It is still cool now.
People
do the clear mods on their Switches.
It's cool.
They do the purple ones because they're cool.
You're right. It's cool, but it's cool to carry around in my backpack as a Nintendo Switch. Not cool to have in my adult living room, having adult house guests over that are like, "Oh, that's adorable. Is that your kid's GameStation 6000 or whatever?" And I'm like, "Oh no, that's actually, you know,
are they not gonna play
that
it?
That's a $600 gaming machine that I spent my last three paychecks on." Like, "Oh, really?" And look, I'm not the kind of person, as you know very well, that cares that much about image. Yeah. I'm just saying that I don't want to look at it. And if I don't want to look at it, people who come into my house probably don't want to look at it there either. I don't think it fits in. And the Nintendo 64, remember, comes from a different era of gaming. My only friend who had an N64, okay? Actually, I had two friends that had N64s. Both of them, the game console was not hooked up to the main TV in the living room. It was hooked up in the basement or in their family room on the secondary crappy TV, because it was the kids' TV for playing their silly games on while mom and dad were, watching
boring news shows on their boring setup with their boring devices.
Exactly, because I was nine.
TV in their boring room.
Exactly.
Someone in chat said Lucas dissed you. Oh, what a jerk.
Lucas. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
I don't know. I definitely hear where you're coming from, but I feel like I hope this is the transition out of that to a certain degree, but not as far as we were at before. Now is a time of change. There are exciting things happening.
Okay.
I like that this console is here.
Okay. You have a magic genie that can grant you a wish, and for whatever reason, you pick the stupidest wish ever, because obviously the best wish would be to wish for all the superpowers of all the Avengers all combined. But for whatever reason, you ask for the ability to have a magic PlayStation or Xbox that plays all games across all platforms.
What a terrible wish. Okay.
Look, you're not thinking straight. Okay. Yeah, you're not thinking straight. Okay. So you wish to have a magic Xbox or PlayStation. Okay, and you're allowed to pick what it looks like. Okay, do you pick one that looks like the Xbox Series X or the PlayStation 5?
PlayStation 5.
Really?
Yep.
You're stuck with it forever. It plays every game, so there's no reason to ever replace it. You are stuck with it forever.
Okay, Series X.
That's what I thought.
Because the white is going to show wear more. That's the only, because I'm stuck with it forever. I'm going to have this thing for 60 years.
No. The white is, you have eroded your position, sir. I have the high ground.
If it's Obi-Wan usually wins technically from the low ground. He is technically, he beats
more nerdy?
Lower than him.
Please.
And Anakin jumps above him. He usually wins from the low ground. Anyways, if it stayed in immaculate condition, I would stick with the PS5.
Forever. It is going to, the thing about a box is that it's timeless, right? Whereas, a space tower is not very timeless.
Yeah, and the Saturn V is amazing, no matter how not timeless it is.
Did you just compare the PlayStation 5 to the Saturn V rocket?
It's got the same number in it. just because something doesn't look like it fits perfectly in the now, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's unattractive. Classics can look cool still, even if they don't fit in with modern things.
I'm going to use that with my wife.
I think, perfect.
You're a classic.
weathered. Don't do that one, trust me.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm not. Is she throwing things at you yet?
I just got yelled
at. She's not a great throw, so she could be throwing things at him. She could just be missing. You can tell her I said that. Her aim is terrible. I've seen her try to throw stuff. It's bad. Yeah, you hear that, Emma? Yeah, sup.
It's okay. Sup, planty time. Very massive variety of other positive skills. What was I going with? Yeah, so I'm not concerned. I'm telling her you said that.
Luke says you have other skills that make up for it.
She has many other skills that make up for it. This PlayStation 5 that I have that still looks like a PlayStation 5 in 60 years. Someone comes to my house and goes, why do you have that weird, like, alien tower looking thin driven thing on a TV for some reason, because it's 60 years from now and we're not using TVs for games anymore. It starts a conversation. I don't know. I don't necessarily think that it not looking like a boring black box that has no real detail except for holes and a single logo and some fins at the top is a bad thing. To be clear, the Xbox Series X is totally fine.
Sure.
It's just unoffensive and kind of boring.
That's fair.
I see nothing against it. If I bought in someone's house, it would probably fit very well with their setup. It would look great.
Microsoft learned absolutely nothing from the last generation of trying to be like, you know,
We work for everything. This is the console that does all of the stuff.
Yeah, whereas Sony's just it's for gaming.
Yeah. And I think that approach and that identity is captured in the designs of the new consoles.
I think that's very fair to say.
And I think that also is slightly mirrored in that, as far as I know, I could definitely be wrong here. As far as I know, the Xbox Series X always comes with a disc drive.
I don't know. I do think so. I do think it does come with one. Oh, wait, no. I thought they have a streaming-only edition. I haven't been paying nearly as much attention to Xbox stuff because it's been kind of slow for a bit.
Yeah, it does. I don't know what the does.
Blah, 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 blah. I'm just going to say that's a far move. That's good, but it normally seems likely. Yeah, okay. I don't think it's been actually confirmed, strictly speaking, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. Do you want to speculate on pricing? So I said $600 earlier. Guys, I was just throwing a number out there. Canadian, USD, $600 probably, I don't know, Canadian would be like 450 USD. So I was just throwing a random number out there. What are your expectations? Last time around, if I recall correctly, it was, 400 US for the PS4, and then it was 500 for Xbox, Xbox One, but it came with a Kinect. Does that ring a bell? Does that sound about right?
I think so.
This is off the top of my head, guys. Don't quote me on that.
I think the One X, when it launched, cost $500.
But I think the Xbox One had dropped in price by the time the One X came around.
Yeah, but that was like the new console of the time, sort of, right?
Okay.
And it cost $500.
All right, so hit me with it. How much does a PlayStation 5 cost?
I'm kind of expecting between $500 and $600. One of those two or $550. I think this is going to be a pretty expensive console launch. And like, sure, inflation, whatever. But like, I think the price tag is going to be relatively high.
I think the Blu-ray one is $600. I think that people are going to be... I think that what happens is when you start building gaming consoles that are basically PCs, is you start to get closer to PC-like pricing. And Sony has absolutely done a lot of work here with their custom chip, working with AMD, timing it just right. So they're taking advantage of a brand new graphics architecture right at the time that they're launching. They've definitely hit, man, the timing is so perfect. To line up with AMD's current Zen 2 architecture. Like, Zen 3 is probably going to be better, but not in the same way that Zen 2 was better than Zen 1 and Zen Plus. Like, these are very, very capable CPU cores. AMD is firing on all cylinders in terms of delivering CPUs that have fantastic value. Like, the timing of this thing, for it to be as timeless as possible, is outstanding. But this is still PC-grade silicon with PC-grade silicon yields. These are graphics cores. These RDNA 2 graphics cores that AMD is not even shipping yet. These are like fresh out of the foundry. I would expect the yields are not amazing at this point in time. I'm expecting $600, and I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna make a guess here, and I'm gonna say that the all digital one is gonna save you. Man, part of me is tempted to say $50, but what I also kind of wonder is if Sony can be making up some of that margin on the back end, knowing that they're going to get digital rather than physical purchases where they have to bake in retailer margin. Ooh, now that's an interesting thought. What if the all digital version was like way cheaper? Like, not, we're not just talking the cost of an optical drive, you know, $40, $50, $60 or whatever. We're talking like they go, okay, we want everybody buying this all digital version. Let's make it like $200 cheaper, like $150 cheaper. Do you think they could do like $600, $449?
I don't think they'll do that.
You don't think so? What's the average number of games? What's the average number of games someone buys? Because if, let's say, retailer margin is somewhere in the neighborhood of like 10 to 20%. So that's $612. So if they could count on people to buy what? 6 games, maybe? Remember, guys, not everybody has a massive game collection. Like, thinking back to when we were actually kids and like didn't have a lot of money, I had like 4 games for my SNES. That was it. And like, you would rent other games. I guess renting's like not really an option anymore.
The PlayStation 4 has an attach rate of 9.6 games per console.
9.6 games. Okay, so let's say they can assume 10 then. Let's say they try to assume 10. So that would be maybe another $100. So, okay, that's probably a safe bet. But then if they save some cost on the Blu-ray drive, maybe they could do it. $150 cheaper. $450 for an all-digital version. Everyone's saying $100 max in the chat. You know what? So I'm going to do it. I'm going to formalize it. I'm going to say I think it's going to be $150 cheaper. I think they're going to count on that all digital purchases margin. I think they're going to count on more than just the 10 AAA games. I think they're going to figure out ways to sell more digitally to PlayStation 5 owners. I think they're going to count on attach of things like they did their own headset now. I'm counting on it. I'm saying it. $150 cheaper. What's your bet, Luke? Remember, this is the WAN show. We can never take back these words unless we, like, really, really eat them. Yeah. Really eat them hard. Let me tell you, Crow is not great.
If it is 150, I wouldn't be, like, flabbergasted. But I don't think it's going to be 150. I would vote against that.
Okay. You think it's going to be less?
Probably go with, like, $100.
You're going with 100. You're going with the safe bet. Safe bet, Lafreniere. Safe bet, Lucas.
I go with the safe bet after. I'm like, no, you need the different console. but yeah, I think probably about $100 delta. Or I think they might do something weird and do like 70.
No, you can't do that. Like, rule, I don't even know why it matters. But I had this beat into me when I was working retail, like pricing, like tweener. That's what we'd call it. We call it a tweener price. Or a tweener SKU. And I remember one of the classic examples of this was, I was talking to my boss about this. This was pretty early in my tenure as a product manager. And I was like, hey, why are 600 and what was it? 640 was like a weird hard drive capacity. It was a tweener capacity. I was like, why are 640 terabyte or gigabyte drives, excuse me, terabyte. Why are 640 gigabyte drives so unpopular? They're the best cost per gig out of everything in that we carry. And my boss is just like, yeah, you know what? I honestly couldn't really explain it to you. That's what I would buy for myself at home. But 500 gig and 1 terabyte outsell it 6 to 1, both of them on either side, even though they are a worse value per gig than 640. And he's just like, yeah, they just don't sell. That's why you have like good, better, best, because you have good so that the people who are going to have to buy the lowest end one don't feel like they're missing out on so much because the next one up is not that much better. And you have best because by the time you spend this much, you might as well spend that much. That's how a product stack works. I don't make the rules. So there's no way that they would do like a $70 difference. I'll bet my beard on it.
You're already betting your beard on shirt sales. You can't bet your beard on that. LTGstore.com.
Dang it, you sound like my bank.
What?
Well, you can't give this for collateral. You've already got it on that.
That's funny. Yeah, and you're almost certainly right. I just felt like they might do that as a play to like make it that weird thing that they don't want people purchasing. I think it's pretty clear in the design language they're not focusing on that one.
Yeah, I think so
too. And that is like the reason why if they did do a $150 delta, I'm not going to be flabbergasted.
Yeah,
because it could be that play to like push it away and make it seem weird and odd. I think PlayStation is also position themselves over the last 2 years to be very much like we're for the gamers, and the gamer argument of like this download is huge, dude, and like my parents don't want to pay for like this bandwidth because bandwidth caps are still a thing.
I know, right?
I think that is a valid argument. So there will be people that want to get the disk drive version,
totally,
that are probably going to be kids. So that's why I'm leaning away from the 150. If I want to be spicy, maybe I'll just go on the other edge of the probably correct answer and go with 50.
I said 600 was my price for the full fat version of the console, right?
So. You've mentioned 600.
I think I said 600 and 450. So one of the reasons that I'm pretty confident in 600 is because looking at how Sony has designed this ecosystem to be used, instead of having like, you know, instead of accepting a compromise on performance, right, and allowing assets to be streamed off a disk, for example, they're saying no. Just like a computer, you have to run everything off of the internal drive of the machine. In fact, yeah, on a computer, you don't have to do that. You can run it off an external SSD or whatever. But they built in this storage, this storage upgrade ability. And to me, I don't think that they would get up there on stage and talk about installing an M.2 NVMe SSD, which by the time the PlayStation 5 launches will probably be like, in order to hit the performance target that Sony has for it, is probably going to be something like a Samsung 980 Pro. Like that may be a 980 Evo. We're going to have to see. This is going to be Samsung's first Gen 4 SSDs. And I think Phison has a controller coming later this year that could possibly also meet the requirement. These are not going to be cheap SSDs. These are not going to be value consumer SSDs where you go on Amazon or whatever, you get your WD Blue or whatever. You're not going to be installing just any SSD in this thing. And so for Sony to go on stage and talk about the upgrade path for this machine with a straight face and point at a device that is going to probably start at $250+, I don't expect this to be like a $400 console. We've got a lot of people in the chat saying, yeah, $400. I don't buy it.
No, I don't buy it. I think I'm going to place myself, and I'm not very confident in this because I think it's going to be $100 delta, but just for the fun of it, I think I'm going to place myself at $599 and $549.
Really? Okay. All right. I'm going to say $599 And oh man, am I stuck with this? All right, $449 for the all digital version. I did say $150 delta. I'm really having second thoughts. I really want to say $500 and $600 now, but I guess, yeah, I'm stuck with it. You know what else I'm stuck with?
$600 is a very reasonable, probably the most like normal kind of assumption, but I'm sticking with $599, $549.
I'm stuck with this message from our sponsor, Displate. Displate makes artwork things out of metal. You put them on your wall and it makes your wall more pretty, and it's easy to mount as a magnet. They've got over 800,000 different art spanning a bunch of different styles and influences, and they require no holes in the wall and they're easily replaceable. They plant a tree for every Displate sold, and we even have our own line of Displates with like me on it and stuff. There's prettier ones too, don't worry. So head to our link below and use code LTT to save 15%. Sponsor 2, Ridge Wallet. Stop carrying around pointless items in your pocket, like receipts, old hotel room keys, or spent gift cards. Ridge Wallet helps you carry less by making it so you can't carry more. That's right, my friends. They use two metal plates and bind them together with a strong elastic band, and you just slip your cards in there, and it keeps everything tightly together, but still accessible. They're RFID blocking, they have a lifetime guarantee, and they're available in aluminum, carbon fiber, and titanium. They don't just sell wallets, they have battery banks, bags, smartphone covers, and more, and they make a great Father's Day gift. Holy crap, I forgot again. I said the same thing last week. I can't believe it. It's coming up June 21st. Don't forget Father's Day. All the fathers up in your life, just be like, "Sup, Daddy?" Use offer code Linus to save 10% on everything at ridge.com/Linus. The show is also brought to you by Squarespace. Build it beautiful. I'm not allowed to say that. Squarespace gives you the tools that you need. That's an old slogan. Gives you the tools you need to build and grow your online presence. They are one of our oldest sponsors. And you know what? I don't think I have ever seen a complaint about them. And that is about as strong an endorsement as I can give, because people find ways to complain about just about anything. If you need to build a website, Squarespace has got you covered. They've got a ton of templates spanning a large variety of categories. So if you need a website for your vlog or your wedding or your business or whatever, Squarespace, they'll get you taken care of. You can go get a domain quickly through Squarespace if you need one, or you can pour it over an existing one you already own. Don't take my word for it. Try it out. 14-day free trial, and you can get 10% off your first purchase if you head to squarespace.com/when. Just use offer code WHEN up in there. All right, for those of you who want to talk PC stuff instead of PlayStation 5, I'm sorry, we're going to talk more PlayStation 5 now.
I think we have another...
no, I'm kidding.
What's another up? Thing to go over, man.
Which one?
The beard versus clean t-shirts.
Oh, lordy. Oh, yeah, and we have...
The sale is ending Sunday night at midnight.
Oh, that's true. LTTstore.com. Also, we have stealth hoodies back in stock in all sizes, so there's basically no reason to not head over to LTTstore.com and treat yourself to a stealth hoodie and then a beard or a clean t-shirt. This is a limited time t-shirt. We're not going to have them forever. Oh, hey, look at that. We've got like a nice, cool little like redesign on the website up in there. Oh, the underwear is cut off. There you go. There's the underwear. I had Nick change the default picture. It used to be like one of the really cringy ones of me strutting my stuff in my underwear. And see, now I've made all of you guys look at that. Very sorry. But yeah, we changed it to just the bag of underwear.
I like the banana one.
Oh, the banana one's a classic. That was James, right? Really funny. James, he's quite a character. You know, he tried to call me from the bathroom today, and I knew he was in the bathroom because he walked right through a meeting and was like, "I'm going to go pee." And I was like, "Okay, you go do that." And then we were kind of like joking about it after he walked through. He's like, "Well, he's peeing now." And my phone starts ringing. It's like, "Dude, I know you're in the bathroom right now. Like you're right there. Why are you calling me from the bathroom?" It's just, you know, there's like social contracts, right? You know, you don't call people from the bathroom. Okay, Luke, tell me something. Yeah. Are you a urinal talker?
Not when I can help it.
Not when you can help it. Okay, so...
There have been calls that I've had where I have gone to the bathroom during the call.
You've gone to the bathroom.
I just mute the phone while I'm doing stuff.
Okay, when I said urinal talker, though, I actually meant talking, not being on the phone.
Oh, I will, like... toggle the mute. I will stop processes, toggle the mute.
I mean IRL, sir.
Toggle the mute again. Oh, yeah.
You're a urinal talker.
Yeah.
So it doesn't bother you that you make people like me extremely uncomfortable.
But have I talked to you that way? Maybe.
I'm actually not sure. I don't know that that's ever come up between us. We'd have to have attended like a sports ball game together or something like that. You know, somewhere where you kind of can't avoid that you're all standing in front of a big trough.
Okay, so if it's that type of thing, I thought you meant like, yeah, no, you did say urinal. That was pretty specific.
I did say urinal.
You talk through the door in a bathroom. But yeah, okay, urinal, like if you're at something like that,
yeah,
usually the tendency is to talk at all times except when you are at the urinal. Then you like pause, do your thing, and then you can talk again.
Okay, so you're not a urinal talker then.
Hands or whatever. Yeah, I would do so, but I do not do so by default. So like if someone talks to me,
I see.
I'll talk back.
Then but, you're like, okay with it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. See,
I never initiate.
I will respond to people, but I'll usually go like one word answer mode. Like, you know, as far as I'm concerned, when you've got your junk in your hand, you don't need to be having a conversation. And it just, you know, it makes me very uncomfortable. So guys, for all of you out there watching at home, if you ever happen to pull up next to me in a urinal, okay,
ask for a signature.
Wait till we're at the sink. That's the rule. And I wish that this advice was like, you know, meaningless and it would never come up. But I have actually been approached in bathrooms before. And it's like,
I think there's been a lot of things recently that I think we as humanity have been like, oh, that wasn't obvious. So, and maybe this is one.
Yeah, if I'm in a bathroom, the best thing is actually not the sink. Actually, you know what? There just isn't a right way, because I've had people wait for me outside the bathroom, and that's really weird too. It's all weird. You know, when there's a bathroom involved, it's just not great. All right, let's go ahead.
Yeah, and I've had someone at PAX ask for my signature in the bathroom.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I
didn't really care that much because I wasn't using, like, I had just finished washing my hands. I was like, yeah, whatever.
The times when it makes
but
me
I,
most
I got
uncomfortable.
Them to come outside with me.
So I had one guy try to take a picture with me in a bathroom. I was like, hey. He's like, starts taking out his phone. I'm like, hey, we should probably go outside of the bathroom. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. So that was a funny one. And the times that it makes me really put off is when I'm like with my kid. So I'm helping my kids go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I'm like helping them wash their hands at the sink or whatever. And someone walks up and is like, hey, you know, yeah, I'd love to. Can I get a picture? I'm like, it ain't a great time. Right now, you know, I try not to be rude, because the last thing you want as like an internet personality or whatever, you know, internet famous, last thing you want is some thread on Reddit about, you know, what a jackass you are because you didn't have the decency to stop for 30 seconds out of your life to take a picture with someone. You don't want that. And honestly, I like it. I consider it a perk, not an obligation, that people even want to take a picture with me. I'm still tickled by it. I think it's hilarious that, like, for whatever reason, my job as a tech nerd makes people want an autograph. I'm like, awesome. I must have the coolest job in the world. Just not in the bathroom, you know?
Yeah, and like, the thing is, they almost certainly don't mean any harm.
No.
Their brain just like...
I don't think they do.
And they're like, oh my goodness, I have finally seen or met or whatever this person. I have this one opportunity. And it just turns off little bits of logic.
Mom spaghetti.
Yeah. Nope. Sometimes you need to just be like, hey, just chill for a sec.
Yeah.
And usually it's usually a pretty positive response.
Okay. This is a great message in the YouTube chat. Vexorian says $480 super chat. You do realize you could get laid with that amount. We should probably respond to the $480 super chat. I did not see that. Give me one moment, please. John Morton says, for duplicate LTT store order. I have no idea what you're talking about, John.
maybe he got two times the stuff that he ordered.
Who places a $480 order on LTT store?
A Chad.
A solid Chad.
Just straight Chad.
Yeah, see, what you didn't realize, Vexorian, is that John Morton doesn't need to get paid. No, doesn't need to pay to get laid. See, that's what's up.
Because this guy, press your button.
Because this guy f***s.
There you go. Yeah, that's what's up.
Has our show gotten a little bit more off the rails? Are we losing our Do we jump the shark, Luke? Oh no. All right. Okay, can we blow through a couple more tech topics
here?
Let's
do it.
Okay. This is really important. Okay. Can you be serious for like 3 seconds, Luke?
Got it.
Jim Keller, Senior Vice President of Silicon Engineering. No, I was serious. This is serious. Resigns from Intel. Original source here is a non-tech, the one and only Dr. Cutress. I'm saying his name like that from now on. Ian, that's how I'm saying your name from now on. Okay, first time I met Ian. Man, what did I say? It's like, hey, because I was like a complete nobody at the time. It was great. I forget what I called him, but it was like Mr. Cutress or like, it was like Ian or something or like, anyway, I was like, hey, I love your articles because I've been an avid Anand Tech reader since I was like a teenager, since Anand actually works there, you know. Anyway, Ian, great guy. Love all the OG writers there. Ryan Smith, Ian Cutress, Gary Key. I basically learned technology from these guys. Ian and, excuse me, Dr. Cutress! And Ryan Smith are both still there. Gary Key is at ASUS. He's amazing. Great guy. Anand, nobody's heard from since he went to work at Apple, but whatever, presumably he's still doing amazing things anyway. I meet him and he corrects me. He corrects me on his name. He's like, it's Dr. Cutress before he like shakes my hand. And I was just like, I love you immediately because that is an alpha move. And I respect that because you don't know me from Adam. And you know what? If you're gonna make a first impression, hey, it's pompous AF, but I love it. I love it and I respect it. I respect it. Yeah. If you're going to go to school for that long, then you might as well be called doctor. Thank you very much. Anyway, so the article is from Dr. Cutress, who, by the way, since then, he and I have had, good, late night ramen chats. And he's the kind of person that is like, a Wendell from Level One Techs, where that's, where the tech support goes to get tech support. He's extraordinarily knowledgeable.
Every name you just listed out, all three of these people, this is what I miss about doing shows.
Oh yeah. Cause these are the kinds of people,
the late night ramen chat and like going to shows and being able to hang out with other tech creators. But like, it's like Wendell, I have spent there was one Computex where Wendell and I hung out
like the whole time. Yeah.
Like the whole, and it was great. And it like, he's just such all of these guys. But in this example, I'm talking about Wendell, but all of these guys are just such an intense wealth of knowledge and experience in this realm. And like talking with Wendell that much over that Computex was so helpful in a bunch of ways. That Computex was super productive for me in ways that I did not expect in any way.
Just in life.
Because I think I got a lot better at doing my job because I was able to talk to him about a huge variety of things. And he was just so open and friendly and sharing with all of his, those guys are all super great.
And nothing great against people. Their writing or video creation skills, but all of them are better in person. The experience is totally different and they're better in person. Like you can learn more talking to someone like Dr. Cutress for half an hour than you would sitting and reading articles written by him for 4 hours, because being able to have that interactive back and forth is just, it's invaluable. Anyway, Dr. Cutress wrote up an article here and basically kind of outlines some of the things that Jim Keller has done over the years. So he was hired by Intel 2 years ago as Senior Vice President of Intel's Silicon Engineering Group. And this is after coming from Tesla, who didn't they have their electronics in their cars described as basically space age by another auto manufacturer not that long ago? Tesla, AMD, where he worked on the Athlon 64, you know, minor project, small project, just a blip in AMD's history. Apple. Oh, yeah. Didn't Apple have a big string of silicon successes shortly after that? Oh, yes, they did. AMD again. Worked on Ryzen. And PA Semiconductor, which I'm not actually familiar with what he did there. But basically, to be clear, it's not like Jim Keller like single-handedly designs a CPU. It doesn't work that way. They're far more complicated than that these days. But from an interview that he actually posted, and you guys should just go check this out. The article is over on Nuntech. He released just an excerpt from it talking about how he kind of went into Intel with his job being to kind of be a fixer. All that we know right now is that Intel has made some changes. They have reshuffled a little bit. They seem to have known enough about the timing of this that they were able to have these changes ready, and that he has resigned effective immediately for personal reasons, but that he will remain on as sort of an advisor for the next 6 months or something like that. At Apple, he worked on A4 and A5. At Tesla, their custom silicon for self-driving. So one of the reasons that I was 100% sure, let's say 98% sure, that Intel was going to come back with, with a big hammer in response to AMD's risenness, was that I knew that Jim Keller was over there doing his thing. He's been there for 2 years. And actually, his most recent stint at AMD wasn't much longer than that. Let me just have a quick look here. 2012 returned to AMD and left again in 2015. Actually, only there for a few years. So maybe we're gonna see some fruits of that. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't working out. The thing about when someone resigns for personal reasons, with no further details, that you really don't know what exactly happened. But it's clear to me that this is sort of a bummer, because anyone who likes high performance technology wants Jim Keller working on cool stuff all the time, pretty much. If nothing else, you know, helping out the teams that are working on cool stuff all the time. Hopefully whatever's going on, you know, he's not sick or, you know, has a, you know, horrible family situation that he's going with. So, you know, all the best for Jim, and, you know, hopefully everyone at Intel can pick things up and keep the ship moving forward, and it's all good, and we get faster CPUs, you know, from a consumer standpoint. And that's what we want, right? We want a competitive AMD, absolutely, to keep Intel honest, and we want a competitive Intel to keep AMD keeping honest. Because the thing is, guys, you know, a lot of you, I think, watching might not remember this, but AMD's image of, like, you know, the more consumer-friendly, you know, guys, a lot of that has been crafted over a period of time when AMD wasn't that competitive. And Dr. Su seems to be doing a great job of keeping their eyes on the prize, keeping her team focused on continuing to deliver the best possible consumer value, regardless of what they have to deliver. But it's not like AMD has never been guilty of resting on their laurels as a company, current leadership notwithstanding. So, yeah, we want competition, and hopefully we're still going to have it. But that's something that was very noteworthy and that we felt like we should highlight on the WAN show today. What else we got for today? Oh, the 5-core CPU.
And talk through this one. I just want to add one quick thing.
Yeah.
He said he's stepping out for personal reasons. I hope he's doing okay.
Yeah, I did say that.
I hope his health is good. Okay, yeah. I
did say that. And family's good. Hopefully the family's good. We want everything to be all good. We want him healthy and working on, like, the coolest stuff and having a good life and all that.
Absolutely. Okay, sorry, moving forward.
All right, Intel's 5-core CPU. This was posted by Purina on the forum. And this is actually cooler than it sounds. So this is a like a hybrid.
Vulnerabilities will be on this one.
Well, just chill. So this is a hybrid x86 platform, codenamed Lakefield, and it's got one big CPU with four smaller CPU cores, plus a bunch of graphics. It's got a low standby mode power consumption of just 2.5 watts, and is intended to be used in always connected laptops like the Galaxy Book S, ThinkPad X1 Fold, and Surface Book Neo. There's 64 execution units in the GPU. That's the same amount as an Ice Lake processor, but clocked lower. The chip uses 3D stacking, so there's a 10 nanometer die for the core stacked on top of a 22 nanometer die for the I.O. So that's a cheaper way to do I.O. A 7-watt TDP, and what's cool about this is that according to Intel anyway, she's a real efficient one, and this could be their serious crack at finally breaking through the barrier of competing with ARM that they have been struggling with for so long. I mean, Atom, way back in the day, was supposed to be their low power answer. Silvermont or whatever it was called. What was it called? Silvermont? I can't remember. They also had, dang, all the code names. It's been so long since they've made a serious play at this.
The branding of Intel Atom. I wonder what this one's going to be branded as.
I don't know. There's a newsroom link that has a little bit more specs and information. Core processor with Intel hybrid technology. Wow, that's terrible. I hope that's not what it ends up being called.
Yeah, me
Oh yeah,
too.
They're going to be i5s and i3s with hybrid technology. Yeah, okay. That either tells us that this isn't actually that revolutionary or that Intel is bad at branding, either of which could be true.
Yeah. This is just... To jump back to my PlayStation argument, remember the awesome branding that was Skulltrail, and remember how much that branding has been not utilized?
Yeah, I know, right?
That like type of branding, like that stuff is cool. I don't want to keep going with like Intel R Core TM processors with Intel R hybrid technology. Blah, 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 blah. Like, oh my goodness. Yawn.
I'm still pretty jazzed for these things. So base clock 1.4, boost 3.0, coarse threads 5. So it's got these, it's actually very similar to the approach that you've seen taken in things like Snapdragon processors. So it's called big little, the big is small and the little is big. And the idea is that you've got a mixture of lighter cores that can handle just like background nonsense tasks while you want to save power, and then higher performance cores that kick into overdrive when you want to run a game or whatever the case may be. And it's something that we haven't seen in an x86 processor so far, and I'm pretty excited to see what can come out of it, because standby power of 2.5 watts, that's not a lot of power for CPU and GPU.
Did you check out page 10?
I don't know if I made it that far.
Got both of the processors laid out there with their processor numbers and...
I did. Oh, yes, okay, yeah, cool. I did. I had that one on stream for a little bit.
Cool, good.
Ryzen 3000 XT specs and launch date confirmed by Amazon, apparently. This is posted on videocards.com. Amazon confirmed the specifications of the 3600 XT featuring 6 cores and 12 threads with a boost clock of up to 4.5 gigahertz. That is lower than the previously speculated 4.7, so we can't expect quite the performance uplift that Luke and I were talking about during our discussion when these were leaked. But the clock speed of the fleet of 4.7 has been confirmed for the Ryzen 9 3900 XT, so that thing should absolutely scream. It's going to be a fast boy. What do you think of the leaked RTX 3080 cooler? Have you seen this yet? Have you heard about this?
No. Where? Oh, here it is. I have not seen this.
It's something. Yeah, it's something.
Oh my.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember how I was talking about, but we don't need to go too far?
Yeah, I do.
Well, I'm not super into it. You also don't see this part of the card. So like,
I just,
unless you are mounting it vertically, but that's like such a small percentage of people.
You know, for me, the thing is, I'm still kind of struggling get it here. So the PCB is on this side. I'm just like my spatial manipulation that I'm trying to do in my head here. So our PCI Express slot is over on the backside here. Or is it like, is it in the middle?
I was on the left.
Well, the IO's on the right for this top card.
Yeah.
And then the IO's on the left for this one. And then I guess this part right here is this part right here. No, this part right here is on the top. Yeah. Okay. So that's this part right here. So like, what is the shape of this PCB? Like, look at this.
Also,
yeah, here it is.
This card around,
yeah,
they don't end up in the same orientation.
Yeah, right? So we're looking at opposite sides of the card. I think I finally managed to do this. So if we take this one and we flip it over, like this way, it will be oriented the same way as that one. Okay, there we go. So that means that, why can't I see the... Okay, so the PCB is here. So this is the back of the card. Here we go. Now we are looking at the top of the card as it would be installed in your system. And here we're looking at it from the bottom. So you're going to have this fan right here kind of blowing through this heatsink array right here, which presumably has like heat pipes running through it. Yep, here we go. So there's heat pipes running through the cooler here. And then this one over here is just blowing like down over the GPU, I guess. So I'm assuming, oh man, see, the shape of the PCB is so weird because it's like here. You see that? So there's like a
this
cutout.
Is very odd.
It's really weird. I don't understand why they felt the need to do this. There, that's what I'll say.
Yeah.
It just seems
definitely
unnecessary. It's like engineering a solution to a problem that nobody had. With
so is there
that
two
said,
stacked fans, or is there one really tall fan?
No, there's two fans, one blowing up onto the GPU here, where the PCB is, and one at the back blowing straight through the card, where there is no PCB. Because the PCB is shaped like a square at the bottom, and then it goes up, and then cuts in, and then goes down. So the PCB is shaped like a ribbon, you know, with like the cutout shape.
This sounds so unnecessarily difficult to manufacture.
Yeah, but then remember too, this is just going to be Founders Edition in all likelihood. So the vast majority of the cards out there are going to be manufactured a more conventional way. This is clearly NVIDIA making a statement. What I don't really understand is why don't they just, like, you know, do RGB or whatever, like everybody else does? Like, why? With that said, I do think that from a cooling standpoint, this is going to be very effective. So having heat pipes carrying heat away from the GPU over to a fan that's blowing right through a heatsink fin array where it has unobstructed airflow above it, right? Because the CPU socket's up there, but you've got case airflow coming in from the front. This thing could be way better cooled than previous graphics cards. Like, the thing you guys got to understand is that graphics cards have a lot of like metal on them, but part of the reason they need so much metal in their heat sinks is that when you have a fan that's just like kind of squeezed in there like that, it is moving almost no airflow unless the RPM ramps way up. Like, you would be shocked at how small of a heat sink you have to strap to your graphics card with a more conventional fan arrangement to cool it adequately. Like, if you just move all of the slots under the GPU and just like put a little tiny, like an Intel stock heatsink on it, most graphics cards would probably run with it. Maybe not quite an Intel stock heatsink, maybe an AMD stock heatsink, like a decent stock heatsink.
A push-pull setup on a stock graphics card is wacky.
It's not push-pull.
In a pretty cool way.
It's not push-pull.
No, it's just push.
So,
push.
As far as I can tell, the one on the bottom is kind of like blowing up into the heatsink fin and then kind of scattering the air around it, kind of more like what we see traditionally now. And the other one is blowing through a fin, like a fin stack. It's bizarre. It's bizarre either way.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, I totally missed that part.
Isn't
this
it
is
hard
to
wrap
your
to
look at? Yes.
Right? Isn't
yeah.
it?
Okay. Yeah. Ugh.
Super weird. Super weird. I got a question here. Showdown says, too mad when? So Too Mad at least has shipping confirmation of the case at this point. EVGA has stepped up to provide the case for the Too Mad collab build. As for the rest of them, we have reached out to pretty much everyone else that we would need for a pretty banging setup. And we're just waiting to hear back, waiting on shipment. And we're going to figure out sort of what that video looks like, because right now I don't know. And we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. All right. Is there anything else that we promised to cover today?
I don't think we promised to cover anything else today. One thing is get 2FA on every account you have for everything, including Nintendo, as there has been a whole bunch of Nintendo accounts that have been hacked.
Okay.
Like in the hundreds of thousands. Also, maybe the Twitch thing?
Oh, no, we still got a fair bit of stuff because we got to talk about the new Intel security vulnerability. I don't know if we're going to go through all of Anthony's notes here. That's a lot of notes. But there's another one targeting the Software Guard extension. Wait, is this not even the one I read about earlier this week? You got to be kidding me.
There's two in here.
Oh, I knew about Crosstalk. Okay, never mind. Yeah, maybe it's the same thing. So they both involve side channel attacks on the secure enclave portion, which is bad because like when attacks are targeting your secure enclave, that's bad. They can steal large chunks of SGX protected data of an attacker's choice. Oops, including cryptographic keys.
That's bad.
That's bad.
This part of it, SGX, which he's currently talking about, there's apparently microcode coming for this. Apparently it was released on Tuesday and they expect it will reach customers in the coming weeks. So that's kind of being solved. Crosstalk, however, doesn't seem like it's going to be entirely solved. There's going to be bits of vulnerabilities left due to the intensity of the performance hits of locking down those potential vulnerabilities. But I'm assuming that's going to be made at least somewhat intelligently so the things that they are leaving vulnerable are not as big of a deal.
Let's hope.
I don't know.
Yeah. Let's hope. And there was one other one that we really had to talk about today, and that is, Twitch enforcing DMCA on, like, music, finally. I guess I don't really have that much to say about this. Duh.
Yep.
Yeah, that was gonna happen. That was gonna happen.
It seems so weird to me for so long how it was being handled. And I guess a few companies or something, I don't know all the details on this, but
someone clued in.
I believe a few companies came together and worked on a system where they could file proper DMCAs on like the right way. And Twitch has responded the way that they have to.
Yep.
And that's about it.
So right now they are basically issuing strikes and pulling down content that has copyrighted music in it. And I believe they're even talking about, don't quote me on this one, but I believe they're even working on a system for live broadcasts as well, which could affect my Beat Saber streams. Gosh darn it.
That makes sense.
Yeah, would definitely affect my Beat Saber streams. But like, guys, this was a matter of time, and it's kind of shocking to me how insulated the Twitch community has been from the way that like music copyright works. Like, this is something that we had to learn many, many years ago on the YouTube platform. Not because YouTube is like bad guys and they're mean and why can't I put Soulja Boy music in my video, aside from that I wouldn't want to.
Tell them.
Yeah, this this is more just that it's amazing that they got away with it for so long. And I saw just like some of the most asinine things on Twitter. Like, I saw this one streamer that's like, well, like, I have my Spotify account, so like I pay for the music. I'm like, really? Like, you think you have a commercial license for what does Spotify cost? I don't have a Spotify account. Spotify,
I'm assuming $5.
Premium price. Give me a sec. You think Taylor Swift is gonna give you a you know, a license to make money off her music for $9.99 Canadian a month.
That's pretty expensive. Okay.
I don't think so. So, there's a lot of people asking these questions. Finally, well, how do I get properly licensed music? And the answer is money, 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 money. We've had to go through that whole process because I don't know if you guys remember this, but way back in the day, we didn't have music. And we started putting music right around the time I think we did the first Scrapyard Wars, actually. And it wasn't on every video at that time, but that's why the first Scrapyard Wars has all that music from the YouTube library. And we used a lot of music from the YouTube library or like royalty-free tracks that we would download and buy. But there's problems with that. Some of the problems are that there was an incident where we used a YouTube library song where the performance was royalty-free and free to use, but the sheet music was copyrighted in like Germany or some crap. So you can run into issues where, you know, because copyright law is so fragmented worldwide, there can be claims that you had no way of knowing were coming and you thought you had a proper license to use the music. One of the reasons we stopped using just like rando individually downloaded songs is that there's no proper way to manage it. Like the digital rights management is not very good. So in some cases you'd have to deal with just like false takedown flags and you're just kind of like, yeah, there needs to be a better way. So there's libraries that are integrated with services like YouTube, like Warner Chappell. I think we're using APM and another one now. We don't use Warner Chappell anymore, but the problem, so that way none of our stuff gets accidentally flagged. We've got these extensive libraries. Monster Cat is another really good one. That one actually does cost like $5 a month or something like that for a license where you can use the music commercially. But it's not as much variety on Monster Cat as some of these other services. So yeah, we end up paying literally thousands of dollars for subscription fees for these services in order to have music that we can play in our videos for you guys. It's kind of crazy how much the game changes once you reach a certain scale. And honestly, this is one of those areas of copyright and like digital media licensing that I think needs a huge, huge wake-up call for the present day. Because I remember a situation where we wanted to make a channel super fun, parodying a Top Gun scene, yeah. the volleyball scene. And we wanted to license the actual Kenny Loggins song, Playing With The Boys, for the video. And not...
I was about to sing it, but I think that's even a problem.
Yeah. Not only could we not get it for a reasonable price, like the price was going to be more than we could ever hope to make through AdSense or a corporate sponsor on the video, which we didn't even have because it was just a silly video we really wanted to make. Not only that, but they were going to require us, even at that price, to take it down after a year because there was no perpetual license for that kind of a song. And I looked at it and I went, well, then you guys just lost the business, right? You lost the customer because I cannot afford that. And so I think what has to happen, and I don't know how to enact any kind of change in the way that this music is licensed, but what has to happen as the enforcement gets better and as platforms have to start enforcing that you can't just have like some chill beats playing, even if you have an audience of one on Twitch or whatever, is there has to be reasonable licensing costs that starting out creators can actually afford, or you're going to end up in this situation where only established content creators like us who can afford to write a thousand or multiple thousands of dollars check can achieve these decent production values. And yeah, there's always going to be workarounds, but like, why are we creating this barrier to entry? Don't you want to get paid for your music library? Why not just have a sliding scale? And I'm not asking for something perfect right out of the gate. You know, maybe something as simple as if you have under 10,000 subscribers, you know, you can apply to use it for very cheap. But then once you grow, you know, the expectation is that you've grown very accustomed to this wonderful service and you're able to contribute more to their bottom line and you can pay more. Like something like a scale where, okay, you cross 10,000 subscribers, now you've got to pay $500 a month. You cross 100,000 subscribers, now you've got to pay, you know, $1,000 a month. You cross 1 million subscribers, now it's Well, you know, hey, you're playing, you know, big time now. It's time to pony up. It's, you know, $2,000 a month or whatever the case may be, because that's what this stuff ultimately costs. But they're just putting people in a position where they can't enter the game, and I think it sucks. I think it's lame, and I think there's a way to do it better. It's just not really my business, and I don't really know anybody in that business, so I have no way of sort of presenting the problem for smaller creators as we've experienced it over the years. Like, I have no problem with the amount that we pay for it now. I think it's, you know, for the service that we get, because it's not just the music. It's the way that the music is cataloged, the way that you can search for it. You can kind of go, yeah, I want this, but not this. I want something like this. And you can find things like that. Like, it's a valuable service. It's just a lot of people can't afford it. And I think people should be able to afford it. That's all.
Yeah.
Thanks, Luke. That was a good contribution.
Speaking of afford it, if we keep doing the WAN show, I might have to urinal talk for my part of the hosting.
Oh, Lordy. Okay, let's get through a couple super chats then. Robert says, can't watch again, but Rift S finally came in. Looking forward to the VOD in VR. Yeah, I wouldn't watch the WAN show in VR. It's a long time to sit in VR and, like, not do anything. Dieter says, you two are turning into Bob and Doug McKenzie. Need some toques. I don't even know who those people are.
What?
Wait, hold on. Is that from the Rick Moranis movie? Uh-oh.
I don't think so, unless I'm remembering it wrong.
Pair of, yeah, or not movies, sorry. Yeah, it's Rick Moranis and who? Wait, is this from Strange Brew?
This is Great White North.
A
this
sketch,
is where, like,
which was introduced
A comes
on...
from and stuff, is it not?
Hold on. Dave Thomas and Rick Moranis. Although created originally as filler, the duo became pop culture phenomenon. The characters were revived for an animated series, Bob and Doug. Hold on, what does Strange Brew have to do with any of this? They rode the crest of a fad that produced one comedy album, The Great White North, and a movie, Strange Brew. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, okay, so I did know who you were talking about, but I was a little hazy on the details there. Okay, we've just got time for a couple super chats. Luke needs to pee. So Michael Breach says, it's 2020. What house guests? Fair point. What else we got here? Fan to DRR says, good stream. Thumbs up. Hey, thanks. Maximilian Ebner says, can we please get the Swacket back? I really need one. I asked Nick, he said no. So if you want it back, then you'll have to tweet at Nick, whatever his, Nick LMG on Twitter. LMG,
yeah.
Tom Cigar says, Garth Brooks, the evidence is overwhelming. Tell us where you buried the bodies. What? This is like a meme or something, because it's not the first time someone has super chatted that. That is like a weird thing to spend money to tell someone. Logan Coleman says, I've been waiting to build a Plex server for a while. I feel like it's the perfect time with everyone being stuck at home, but I'm having a hard time with specs. Would you be up for a video or a series on Plex server builds? Basically, with Plex, it's like, unless you're trying to do something really weird, like for whatever reason, closed captioning, or this was a while back, maybe they fixed it by now, but closed captioning was like single threaded only, so you needed like really high performance to closed caption on like 4K UHD content. Unless you're trying to do like something that's a kind of an edge case, you don't actually, excuse me, need that much power. Like, you can run a Plex server off of like an NVIDIA Shield Pro or whatever.
Yeah.
Jack says, last podcast I asked you for a PC game for my girlfriend to play. You recommended Breath of the Wild. While a great game, it isn't exactly a PC game. Any other suggestions? Love your content, and thanks for all your work. All right, Luke, can we do better? Can we do better than our non-PC game recommendation? All right, how about this, okay? Mario Kart DS. It's an excellent game. It's a great way to kill some time on the can. You're going to have to dig up a DS or a DS Lite. Sorry, what's that?
Didn't he specifically say it had to be a PC game?
Yeah. I mean, well, I did. That's what I did last time, too. I specifically gave him a console game. And look at my financial incentive to keep answering this question wrong, because this time he gave me $20 more to get a real recommendation. So the longer I can string this out, we do one WAN show every week. Hold on a second. Let me just do some business calculations for y'all. So that's 52 WAN shows a year times $20. That's the easiest $1,000 I ever made in a year.
Okay.
Just not answering someone's question. So Luke, you can question my answer, but you can't question my business acumen.
Fair. Very fair. Yeah.
All right.
So something that I would... Can I make a recommendation without having played the game yet?
Ooh, that's risky. That's like pre-ordering, but like someone else's money. That just basically makes you...
I have purchased the game. I've been excited for this game for... probably a couple of years, not like,
see ya,
oh my goodness, I can't wait, but excited for like a couple of years. But then I heard it was going to come out to the Switch, so I waited for it, and it's been waiting forever, and it's finally out on Switch. But it is out on PC.
Okay, what
it's
is
out
it?
On Nintendo Switch, Apple Arcade, and PC. It's called What the Golf.
But you haven't played it.
I haven't played it. But it's got to be amazing.
Okay, so hold on a second. Can we find... Dang it. It's a... all of these are like Nintendo Switch trailers, which you know Nintendo's going to go demonetize the WAN show over. Right. What the Golf PC... Okay, let's see if we can pull up some What the Golf PC. Apparently this channel is called Defunct Games, but I don't know if this game is actually defunct.
That's the company, I believe. That's the company.
Is that the company?
I think they made it.
No, this says review.
Oh.
No, Defunct Games reviews What the Golf by Triband.
Triband, yeah, okay.
Sorry. Yeah, okay. So...
moving furniture or stick...
It does... It looks pretty weird. Slime ball. It looks pretty weird. I don't know what I'm looking at here. Man, okay, you're going to have to give me a little bit more detail about what your girlfriend wants to play, okay? So...
I mean, anytime anyone asks for it, like, hey, can you give me a suggestion on a computer? Like, I don't know what you need. You might need to send something into space, or you might need to play Doom. Like it there needs to be a lot more information. What I like about What the Golf is it's very
theoretically
it's very light. It's funny. It's not way too overly serious. Here's a trailer that you can watch.
I don't remember Jack's message from last week, so I don't know if they've already played Overcooked, because Overcooked is freaking awesome.
Overcooked is that's it for sure.
Did we suggest Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time? Because we've played a little bit of that. That was fun.
These are co-op games though, isn't he looking for him to play with her, or
wait, is Bomb Squad on PC? Bomb Squad's a blast.
This is another co-op game.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
Is he looking for games to play with her, or is he looking for games for her to play by herself?
I actually don't know.
See, this is information that would be helpful.
This is the problem. This is the problem. All right,
Jack. Check out that trailer.
All right. And a game that I really like that people are giving me such a hard time for not bringing up is CrossCode. I love CrossCode. It's great. It's like...
I don't know if it's
for new gamers, though.
I would highly not suggest that.
She needs a game for someone new to games. Okay, so play What the Golf, but is holding Luke accountable if it isn't amazing. There you go. All right. There you go, Luke. You painted yourself into that corner, and you're going to have to make an apology video, probably.
You know what? Okay.
All right. All right.
That'll
and that's
the
it.
The first video I put on my YouTube channel in 5 years or something.
Thank you for tuning into the WAN show, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We will see you again next week. Same bat time, same bat channel for more shenanigans.
Bye.
I was waiting for you to say bye. I needed you to say bye.
It's so hot. I am just drenched. I need to open the door one second.